And when I started running, I suppose I didn't stop. And when I got the chance to go, I said I'd stay going. So it opened up.
We're only the small little fish out there, so we are. And we're trying hard to make it through. But it's hard to get the breaks when you're the smaller fish.
Because I love this county so much, you know. And it's just, I'm delighted that the lads did it for the people of Waterford today, because, like, I'm heartbroken.
All right, you're welcome along to the GAR. This is the Hurling Show. It's Mikey and Paddy here today. JJ's got a throat injury, so he can't... can't do it. I don't want to be kind of suspicious or cynical here, but every time Kilkenny don't have a brilliant performance, JJ doesn't appear here on a Monday morning. So look, he'll have to be pulled up on this. But listen, you two lads are here anyways. That's the main thing. What an occasion it was yesterday. You'd have to say, for a Leinster final, we were so used to these not being big occasions, and the Munster final being the big deal. And we had a Leinster final. Now, the game didn't kind of match the occasion. We'll talk about the game in a while. But 60,000 people, the Wexkins really come out in force, Mikey, and they really added to the occasion of it.
Yeah, unfortunately, I was not one of those 60,032. I couldn't make it, but I was out for a walk on Sandy Mount Strand, and matches at 11 o'clock in the morning, the road was just full of Wexford cars. And then I was out for another walk in the evening, and the road in the other direction was still full of Wexford cars. I've never seen a Leinster final like that, because there hasn't been one like that, but I saw people talking about it again yesterday, the idea of Davey doing a kind of consultancy role, doing two years in each hurling county, like, and what it would, the life it would breathe into them. It's fantastic, because coming out of that Dublin defeat last year in the Leinster Championship, you couldn't imagine that Wexford would be playing in a Leinster final in front of 60,000 people 14 months later. So the defeat, I would have predicted it, but I don't think it's a hammer blow, and it's not going to knock Wexford hurling back. This is still a good summer.
Yeah, no, it definitely is a good year. Paddy, Davey didn't last too long in the box, did he? He was there for about 10 minutes, and the next minute the camera pans on him, and in true Davey form, he is absolutely berating some poor linesman.
Just going mad. I saw him there coming down, and I thought it was good that he was in the box first, but I suppose it's easy to say it, that it'd be better to be in the box, but I suppose he's that sort of character that he can go down and try and influence something or somebody. He will. Now, I personally don't think it's great to be given the officials that much pressure. I don't think, you know, maybe officials are swayed sometimes, but I actually don't think it's good, and I don't think it's a good sign for a team. Look, he was down, he couldn't help himself anyway, and he was given whatever he could, but like, at least he couldn't shout and come on, and sure, like, with 60,000 people there, I don't know what that's doing for anyone.
No, it's not really doing anything for anyone. He just didn't have the patience.
He hits a particular pitch, though, with his commands that maybe they do actually penetrate.
I don't think they do. I'm sure, what's come on? Like, what's come on? I see him shouting. He must call Matthew O'Hanlon Matt, because he kept shouting Matt, Matt. Or it looked like Matt, Matt. And then after about three shouts at Matt, he says, come on.
Yeah.
Like, I've been on a field lots of times, and come on is not going to improve my performance really too much. Not.
Michael Deignan didn't give him credit for getting a free overturn there in the second half, I think, because he went absolutely mental with the linesman, and Michael Deignan actually thinks the linesman changed his opinion because Davey was screaming at him. But then he got told to go back to his technical area by the fourth official. So he did have... you know, he wasn't overawed by the surroundings of Croke Park anyway. Davey was Davey.
And is it me, or is Micheál O'Donoghue getting more animated on the sideline now as well? I don't know if it's the Loughnane criticism that he's like, you know, what was the criticism that he's too weak?
No personality, wasn't it?
No personality. Do you is that me, Paddy, or have you noticed that he's getting a little bit more hyped?
I think he looks a bit more comfortable. He looks more like himself. Like, he came into a fairly tough situation there where a lot of pressure. Like, the players wanted Anthony Cunningham out. They want him in. So he's coming in with all this expectation. And I think he was just trying to keep a lid on it. But no, yeah, I'd say the fact that they're playing the way he wants them to play, it kind of seems that he's a little more comfortable now. And he does. He definitely looks steely, kind of determined on the sideline there. And the other teams were gritted a couple of times. So yeah, I'd say, you know, the personality is definitely there anyway.
Yeah, it's like he's kind of grown into himself. Is it just me, lads, or did the change in jerseys take away from the game yesterday? Galway in white is just, it's just not right. It's like another team.
There's like not 15 goalies.
What?
Yeah.
15 goalies, yeah.
15 goalies.
I want that Wexford jersey.
Oh, the Wexford jersey was class, but I'm talking about Galway. It didn't look like Galway at all.
No, it didn't. Actually, same as Paddy, I just kept saying, look, keeper, what's it? Oh, wait, no, they're wearing white. I kept thinking it was goalkeeper as well. I kept thinking it was Callan. You just can't get it out of your head. A white Galway jersey is the goalkeeper's jersey. Wexford, because keeper doesn't wear a yellow jersey anyway, Wexford jersey did look like it was a one-off kind of away jersey. But yeah, Galway just looked like a team of goalkeepers.
Yeah, the Wexford jersey was absolute class. It was lovely, a lovely kit. You love those alternative kits. I remember Kerry used to have a blue one that I always wanted to get my hands on. It's absolutely deadly. Quickly before we move on, because Conor Cooney is coming on the show here. We're very excited about that, man of the match yesterday. The qualifier draw was this morning, and the venue has been just decided recently, Paddy. You've got Dublin at home, which was already a good draw for Tipperary, getting Dublin, and you got them at home as well. So it's double good news for Tipperary. Kilkenny and Waterford, though, is probably the big one down there. They're on in Turles, if anyone's listening, at 5 p.m. for Dublin Tip and 7 p.m. for Kilkenny Waterford.
Look, if I was a Dublin, I wouldn't want to play in Turles now, but to be honest, and I know we're going to talk about it later, but I suppose seeing Turles the other day, or seeing Tipperary the other day in Turles, maybe they won't be too fearful of it, really, to be honest. So I certainly would have been putting in an objection if I was Dublin. I don't think Dublin has come to Turles and been too successful in recent times, so that's certainly putting them on the back foot, kind of, you know, probably a few scores, really, going into the match.
Yeah, and especially after Tipperary refusing to concede home advantage to Westmeath.
They had a good reason, it seems.
Yeah, maybe they saw the writing on the wall. Here, shit, they have information. We're not going well. I'm not even trusting us to go to Cusick Park. But we will talk to Paddy, because Paddy was at that one earlier on, and we'll talk to him about how Tipperary are going. But we're going to have to leave it there, because Conor Cooney is on the line, who was obviously man of the match yesterday after scoring 7 from play. Conor, I'd say when you were thinking about the game the night before, you weren't thinking about 7 from play.
No, I thought you weren't thinking about that much. You were just thinking about the simple thing, really, and just getting the mind right. Just broke for Sunday day, and we really opened up there in the second half and managed to get a good few scores and keep on top. So yeah, it was happy days.
And how did it open up, Conor? Because we know there was so much talk about Wexford's sweeper and how, you know, he provides such great cover. How did it come about that you were able to get 7?
I suppose they were set up sort of to stop goals, I suppose, really. We targeted them in the air and we were sort of in high ball in for a lot of it and seemed to put them under a bit of pressure, and balls were just breaking away. I suppose it was tough early on, like, we weren't really, it was tip for tat for most of the first half, and I think we just came out in the second half, and I suppose they do play a real tough running game, so might have taken a toll as well. It was a clammy, human day, so might have been a factor as well, but in the second half there we just seemed to get on top and got a run, and I think they found it difficult to get back after that. I suppose the way they were set up didn't really help them in that regard, but just ball hopped away and you have days like that, I suppose.
Yeah, I saw it described as a Kilkenny type performance, which is one of the best compliments you could get. You know, weather the storm in the first half and then go out and play your hurling in the second half.
Yeah. like I said, it was tough going early on there. It was very, very tough. A lot of rooks, a lot of stuff like that. But I suppose we didn't panic. We'd been there before. We'd been in a lot of Leinster finals. I mean, that's only the second one we've won. I suppose we had the experience and they didn't really have it. And I suppose we knew if we stuck to our guns that we might get the breaks at some stage. And luckily enough, it happened for us. But I think came out in the second half and they missed a couple of opportunities. And Karen made a great save for a penalty as well. And it was all maybe just hit the confidence maybe a small bit for them. But we just stuck to our guns and kept focusing on ourselves and doing whatever we could do right. And as I said, the ball broke away and we took our scores and came out with the win.
I see other people saying that they can finally start trusting Galway now. Like, I mean, you know, you've had a reputation in the last few years for maybe like brilliant one day, you know, not as good the next day. Are you finally trusting yourselves that you know that you're going to come to any game now with a level of performance that, you know, that's going to be enough to win the game?
Yeah, I suppose we were saying saying all year, that consistency is something we really wanted to develop and get into our game, and it seems to be something we've done this year. But look, we've a semi-final to look forward to now, and it's no good being consistent all year if you're not hurling at the peak time. So yeah, look, we're happy enough with where we are. We've two bits of silverware and we've All-Ireland semi-final to look forward to, so yeah, we're happy enough.
Come here, talk to us about your injuries, Conor, because this is almost like your second coming. You made your debut in 2012, but you had to disappear kind of for 2 years. 2014, 2015, you went through an awful run of injuries where you had broke your foot twice and had a hip operation.
Yeah, it was January of 2014. Yeah, we had a training camp down in UL in Limerick and just training on an AstroTurf, and I went to turn them, felt a pop, and I just broke my fifth metatarsal on my left foot. So that was, whatever it was, 10 or 12 weeks coming right. But I just went out and I went into the doctors and they told me I was 100% go back playing and sort of ease myself into it. But I went out playing a challenge game with the club a few days later after they said, give me the all clear, and felt a pop again and it was gone again. So I had to go for surgery at that time, and it was what's called a Jones fracture, so it hadn't actually healed properly. There was a little weakness in it, so I had to get a screw into it. So I went up to Century and got that done, and then towards the end of the year, yeah, I had trouble with my hip, so I had to get a hip arthroscopy and get it cleared out. But thanks to that, I'm all clear really, and haven't had any major injuries there. Yeah, strain my calf there, saw the injury problem, but twisted ankle as well just for the league final, so that sort of put me out for that, which is disappointing. But yeah, it was tough enough, but thankfully now I'm at the same bit of health and with two bits of silverware, so happy days.
Yeah, it is happy days now. Come here, and you broke your foot just twisting and turning. It wasn't somebody even stepping on your foot or anything?
No, yeah, it was just returning on an AstroTurf and we were just doing a drill, and I ended up turning left suddenly, and I kind of put all the pressure on one point of my foot and just felt a pop. Yeah,
that's unusual, is it?
Yeah, I suppose it is. Yeah, usually see more in soccer players, but yeah, no, it happened. That's the way it was. And the second time it was a similar turn, just turning left, and felt a pop again. Which, yeah, I suppose it was unusual enough, but that's the way it happens.
And you know, so when you're going through that kind of spell of injuries, I saw you actually saying that you spent so much time trying to get back physically fit after them that you're not concentrating on your hurling as much. So, like, I mean, your form suffers then. So, you know, it's like a vicious circle that you're in.
Yeah, you're chasing your tail, really, because I think there was one stage I'd done maybe three pre-seasons in one season, and you're kind of gymming and trying to get the body right, and your hurling probably does suffer really then. But, I've been lucky enough this year that we've had good work put in. The lads in the Beckman team have put in savage work as well, and they're always on to you, trying to get you as close to 100% as they can. So I'm fierce looking in that regard, but without when the body isn't right, the hurling suffers, and if the hurling suffers, you won't be at the pace that you need to be at. So I'm happy enough with my fitness this year, so hopefully we can keep going and stay injury free.
And like what with your fitness, like, I mean, do you struggle to get your fitness up to a top level? Like, I mean, you're a big man, like a lot of you Galway lads are.
Yeah, I suppose fitness was never really my my standout point, but I'd be the first to admit it too. But I'm happy enough this year now. There were lads there at the start of the year that there was huge effort going in and kind of give you a bit of a kick as well. Like Paul Killian there, he was fierce, unfortunate, with crew sheet. He'd myself and Paul were two lads we'd never really count fitness as our top thing, but Paul, we were doing fitness tests at the start of the year, and he was getting top marks in all of them, like, so it was disappointing for him in that regard. But when you see lads putting effort in like that, it gives everyone a bit of a G up, and everyone puts in that bit more effort. So it was tough on him, but everyone's kind of feeds off that positive energy and gives everyone a kick on to get themselves right and do everything right. And I suppose when you're getting that bit more mature, you have a bit more cop on and you take care of the body more and you put more into the rest and recovery side of it as well. So Yeah, that's a big thing too.
So you mean when you're Galway are doing long distance running, instead of Conor Cooney being stranded at the back on his own, he's up around the middle of the group. Is that where we're saying you are now?
I wouldn't be up around the top anyway. So somewhere in the middle, I suppose.
Somewhere hiding in the middle, in the safety zone there, yeah. Come here, there wasn't any huge celebrations on the field yesterday, Conor. Like, it's really obvious that Galway were on a mission now. And a funny enough one this morning, I was texting you to come onto the show, and your WhatsApp said last seen at 9 o'clock in the morning, and Joe Canning was the same, because it was onto him looking for your number. So, like, I mean, it mustn't have been too late at night if you were up at 9 o'clock this morning.
I don't know. Look, we're staying grounded enough. We're not getting carried away. I mean, we've a lot of lads have Leinster title before, but as we said, we were thinking it's the most direct route. Look, we're absolutely delighted to win a Leinster title. It's a huge thing. It's silverware again, but look, we're keeping grounded. We're being sensible, and look, we're not going to get carried away. But we're looking forward to an All-Ireland semi-final now, and please God, we might get over that now, and we'll see who we have to come up against. But there was nothing crazy went out, and we enjoyed ourselves last night, and probably meet up there again after a while if we were dead. But we're not getting carried away.
Yeah. So for the next 6 weeks now, you'll be, obviously it's going to be a difficult one. You'll probably go back to your clubs and stuff. Will you pay close attention? You know, Waterford are playing Kilkenny next week. You know, the Qualit Tip are playing Dublin. You know, then you have the Munster hurling final. Will you watch all them closely, or will you try and stay away from the other games?
You'll take an interest in it regardless. So you'll be watching anyway. But yeah, you'll be watching them all, because you'll be kind of thinking who we could come up against and what the permutations are. But we watch them all. We go back to week. We'll have a round of club games this weekend coming. And really, you've only 4 weeks then, and the last week you'll be doing nothing. So in reality, it's 3 hard weeks of training, which isn't actually a lot when you think about it. So we'll go back and we'll put in 3 good weeks, and when we find out who we'll have, we'll do our homework on them and sort out whatever we have to sort out. But until then, you can only really focus on yourself. That's what we do, but we'll keep an eye on. I suppose you keep an eye on everything, because you can meet most teams at this stage.
Exactly. And so, look, you scored obviously 7 from play, and was in front of 60,000 people. It must have been an incredible feeling. But I wanted to talk to you about 2012. It was your debut year. Am I right in saying you got brought on in the drawn match after 52 minutes and then taken off after 61 minutes?
Yeah, you'd be right. Yeah, wasn't a great feeling now, really. Yeah.
And what was the reason for that, Conor? Because, like, I mean, there's no, under what circumstances 9 minutes enough for anyone to get into a game, never mind a 19-year-old?
Yeah, I suppose it was tough at the time. Yeah, I was young. I was 19, as you said. I was only coming on to it, and you go into an All-Ireland final and the pace is red hot, but probably do need a few minutes to settle. But
yeah, you do.
I don't know, that was the management's call, and they were just doing what they thought needs to be done to win that match. But on a personal level, it was very disappointing, but look, they were doing what they thought was best for the team, and that's just what happened. But it was disappointing, and I suppose that's a long time ago, that's 5 years at this stage. So,
I know it is, but was it hard to get over that? Like, the only reason I'm asking about this is because we played Armagh in an All-Ireland quarter final in 2003, and I was brought on with 10 minutes to go in the first half, and I was taken off then after maybe 20 minutes in the second half, and I was actually smiling walking off the field, just out of pure embarrassment, rather than actually, you know, people thought like that was disrespectful, but I didn't know how to react. I just thought being brought on and brought off in a full Croke Park was took me a while to get over it.
It took a while to get over it. You'd be really disappointed, like you'd be disappointed to your family as well, I suppose. But those are things that, I suppose, is a bit of a cliche, but it's a build character as well, you know. So
yeah.
Look, it happened, and I say, well, it wasn't nice at the time, but as I said, you just have to get on with it. And look, I wasn't going to hang up the boots because of it or anything like that. So came back and went at it again, and you know, hopefully my sentiment on that.
Yeah, well, does 7 from play in a Leinster final banish the memories a little bit?
That might help to solve it, yeah. I wouldn't dwell on it too much anyway, but yeah, I know, nice on a personal level to get a few scores in play yesterday, but you know, there was massive performances all over the field. It wasn't just one guy doing it, like there was a back sort of solid as a rock there, and you know, Cal was again saved the penalty and was outstanding goal, and yeah, look at the performances all over the pitch, like, so won't get carried away with it all now.
No, and like, I think everybody thinks you're related to Joe Cooney in the half forward line, but you're at, the Cooney family scored, what was it, 12 from play yesterday, but it's not, you're not even related.
No, Joe's and Seth is there.
Yeah,
funny, Joe's, we both have Joe the father as well.
Do you?
But Joe had a great game there. He was physically very imposing and snapping ball from there, and delight for him as well. He was back at his best again, yeah, so all really well.
Yeah, listen, it was a brilliant win, and best of luck for the rest of the year, Connor.
Don't call him.
Let's chill the beans. There still is a lot of work to be done yet. Just give us a small bit of time. Just give us a small bit of time. Let's chill the beans. But I tell you, give us a year and a bit. Just give us a small bit of time. Just give us a small bit of time. Let's chill the beans. Let's chill the beans. 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 Let's chill the beans. Let's chill the beans. 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 Let's chill the beans. There still is a lot of work to be done yet. Just give us a small bit of time. Just give us a small bit of time. Let's chill the beans. But I tell you, give us a year and a bit. Just give us a small bit of time. Just give us a small bit of time. Let's chill the beans.
Yeah, interesting enough trying to analyse this game, Paddy. It was like, you know, Wexford brought the fierce passion, they brought the emotion, they drove into Galway. Galway weathered the storm, they took everything Wexford had to throw at them, and then finally ground them down, and their class told in the end. That seems pretty much the story of the game for me.
That's it, yeah. And Wexford tore into them, and you know, they were a little bit fumbling, a couple of missed shots and that, but they weren't really overawed by the occasion, in fairness, and they went out and gave it everything, and they were pretty, you know, they weren't poor on the ball or anything like that. But you were looking at the clock then, I think it was just into injury time in the first half, and they're 2 points down, and they're after, to be fair, they probably out-hurried Galway for a lot of that first half, and they're still 2 points down, which is a very, very good sign of a team like Galway, you know, that they're not playing fantastically. They're playing okay. Conor Cooney was going to town, but they weren't playing great, and they're 2 points up in the half time. And, you know, that's a little bit ominous. And then that second half, I just thought the first 10, 12 minutes, second half, I thought the two wing forwards for Galway, Burke and Joe Cooney, they drove into it. They won ball, they won freeze, popped a few scores, and the half forward line really made a difference second half. You could see the Wexford team, unlike the Kilkenny display, they couldn't bust out their back line, I felt.
Yeah.
So they couldn't really get on the front foot.
Jeez,
like they did in other games.
Sorry, Paddy. Niall Burke, actually, I thought, I put out a tweet at half time that Niall Burke would be doing well to come back on the field in the second half. He did everything arseways in the first half, not giving good ball into Conor Cooney, taking pot shots when he's under pressure, then an awful wide. But in fairness to him, he showed an awful lot of bottle to come out and play the way he did in the second half, where he dominated in the air over that side of the field and scored two good points.
Yeah, I think in fairness to Wexford, I think they made Galway's life as difficult as they could in the first half. Not that Burke's two shots from nowhere were just brainless, but I think in general, especially that, like, what was it, Matthew Hanlon got 2 points in the first half, and I think the O'Keefe got one as well. The Wexford half back line was probably hurling as well as any trio on the pitch, and I think I actually thought what was telling in the second half was, for a Davy Fitzgerald team, I think Wexford actually ran out of steam. I think they just worked so hard to stay within 3 points of Galway in the first half, and it could have been level if it wasn't for a bad last 5 minutes of the first half. I actually think Wexford were gassed, and that showed in the fact that they couldn't win a high ball, and that just kind of the space did open up.
But were they gassed, or could they not win high ball because they've got small players. Outside of Matthew Hanlon, they've got Ryan in full back, but their two cornerbacks are very small men.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Conor Whelan cleaned Breen out. Now, Breen did a great job on him in general, a real sticky player, but he cleaned him out in the air. Like, all over the forward line, you have the two Coonies cleaned out in the air. Wexford just don't seem to have that ball-winning ability, Paddy, to be able to, especially against a team like Galway, who are just sensational in the air.
Well, I think that's the key, is that because they're against Galway, they're probably not any worse than any other team. Well, look, they might be top level in the air in terms of their backline, but, like, it's just because Galway are just such a force and they're huge. But obviously, it's no good being huge without having technique. They're very good technique in the air as well. And you have to use so much energy against all their forwards. Like, you know, a lot of the times when you're playing against forward lines, if you're coming out hard onto the ball, you kind of blow them out of the way. That happens to a lot of teams, and that's the big problem. But you can't blow a lot of these Galway lads out of the way. They're always there, they're athletic, they have an arm in, they have a leg in, they have something. So you're not breaking out clean. So I did think they looked like they did get a little bit after the first half. And then, see, it can be such a simple game for Galway then, because a lot of their scores, they just pop it in. And because they have that artillery in there, they don't have to work hard, they don't have to do anything cute with the ball. They can get it, pop an early ball in, and the first man will certainly won't get dominated, so there's definitely a chance for the second man to get the ball. So they have a nice little game plan going there, and it really comes down to the players that they have. It's very difficult to play against them when they're all equipped, they're all big and all out to hurl, and that's fine, you know, because Wexford do a man-marking thing, but when your markers are very, very good like they are, then they can lead a lot of holes, and I thought there was a lot of gaps around the back line for Wexford second half.
Yeah, and Sean Murphy was being criticised because he played very defensive sweeper role. Like, I mean, maybe they were spooked and they were trying to avoid goals. But, like, I mean, Conor Cooney benefited that Murphy was fairly close to him, and he was actually able to win ball in front, when the whole idea of a sweeper is that you can't win ball in front, that you shouldn't be allowed to win a ball in front.
I tweeted out towards the end of the first half that I didn't think Murphy was defensive enough. I thought the ball was going over, but it was getting to Cooney. I was wondering, should he be behind Cooney and just trying to...
He was at times behind Cooney, I think.
Could have been behind him a bit more, I think, because he just that was killing. Like, one point for Galway in the first half came from a puck out, like Callaghan straight to Cooney over the bar. Surely that's a sign that the sweeper's not in the right place, or maybe he's not expecting a puck out to go that far. But
yeah. Well, Galway got a few scores straight from puck outs, but that was landing on the half forward line. I suppose that's not really Murphy's detail.
No, but there was one that went deeper
the
again.
Whole way.
Yeah. It was deep, went in towards like the 21. It was just a phenomenal puck out.
And Murphy's not really that big of a man anyway. So he's not. I don't think Murphy's really there. It's dependent on the fellas to break it down for Murphy to kind of win it. Is it, Paddy? Or like, I mean.
Yeah, well, if you're, I've often played sweeper, and you would think that, oh, he's going to just cut off the ball. But look, a good player is going to look up and see where the sweeper is, and he's not going to hit it down to him. If he is, he has to under some pressure to hit it down in the sweeper. Now, it happened a few times, but Galway really kept away well from him. He can only cover a certain amount of distance. Like, he can't ever. But you have Conor Whelan there. I thought he caused a lot of hassle even though he didn't score, and then you had Cooney beside him. So, like, you know, you can only pick one to stay in front. You can't pick two of them. So, as you said, though, the last day the Wexford bats were very able to break it, and Sean Murphy was able to come on to it. But yesterday it didn't happen as much because of the strength of Galway forwards, and it kind of nullified Sean Murphy a little bit. Now, he still hit a lot of ball, but he got fourth full back instead of playing out in half back line where he could start the attacks. I thought they were probably looking at the threat inside, and I think that, you know, maybe they would have had three or four goals if he wasn't there, but it kind of affects him going forward, and it shows him how much they scored.
Yeah, and like, I mean, you're looking at Galway scoring 29 points against a team with a sweeper, right? They scored 33 against Offaly, and Offaly are in absolute disarray. So, like, I mean, I've made this point lots of times. I can't understand how a sweeper in hurling is successful. Not when the ball can move as fast and as far as it can. And, like, I mean, the sweeper can only cover a certain area. But, like, in hurling, you can... I think... Do you know what I think? The culture in hurling has been clearances for so long that it played into a sweeper's hand. But now teams are getting more sophisticated and are getting smarter.
Yeah.
And Tipperary are embarrassing a sweeper because of the ball they give in. Galway are too smart for a sweeper. The culture of the long clearances, that Kilkenny are still falling into that trap of it.
I was about to say, it depends on the opposition, because, like, in the Leinster semi-final, Kilkenny just played into Wexford hand. Long ball balls toward Colin Fennelly. Okay, he caught a couple, but Liam Ryan broke every other one of them, and Sean Murphy was there underneath them, hoovering them up, and he was giving a quick ball to Leach in, and it made Wexford look like unbeatable because they were playing into that system. Like you said, Galway don't do that, Tipperary don't do that. So I think it depends on the opposition, and maybe you could argue if Wexford had manned up yesterday, they would have had an extra forward, and perhaps, well, they would have certainly scored a bit more, but would they have conceded a couple of goals as well? The one thing is they didn't really look like conceding any goals.
Yeah, I suppose we'll never know that. We'll never know that. But what do you think, Paddy? Because, like, I mean, I genuinely think the sweeper could be done after this weekend, especially when you're playing Tipperary, if you're playing Clare or if you're playing Galway, because they use the ball so well. Now Waterford might play one themselves, so you know that's different.
Yeah, well, they're used to it, you know. I mean, obviously it's a start when it came in. I can remember 10 years ago Anthony Daly using it with Clare against Kilkenny and nearly beating them in the All-Ireland semi, but that's when it was a lot of hit and rush, you know, hit the ball long, rush it, you know. Kilkenny do that a lot. Teams won't do it anymore. Like, if you have good players in your half back line, they're, and you're giving them extra space, so you're basically giving them license to play the ball around them. Why would they bother hitting it down long on top of a sweeper and giving you exactly what you want? I just don't think, maybe I'm wrong, I just don't think you can win an All-Ireland with it, because by the time you get to an All-Ireland semi or final, you're playing one of the top teams, they've studied for 3 or 4 weeks exactly what to do, and if they're on their game, they'd be working hard enough, they're going to nullify the same man. And what's happening is you've only 5 forwards then, and so you are up to 5 forwards really tight, and then you have one man tipping around able to take ball off whoever stopped. And I just don't think you can win in All-Ireland. I don't think you won't score enough, and I think that's shown plenty of times over the last couple of years with Waterford and Wexford. Now the only thing you'd say is that with Wexford, he was coming in, Davis coming in, they're at very, very low ebb, and to get the confidence to get very competitive, I won't blame him for using the sleeper. But, and I think actually Sean Murphy is brilliant better, and his stick play, his stick passing must be the best in Ireland. But they need to drive on. It's like Waterford need to drive on 15 aside now if they want to win top games. But I don't blame him for the start here, because you know, we weren't talking about much 6 months ago.
Yeah, no. And in fairness, Wexford looked very ordinary team in the second half. Like, I mean, they did, you know. There was a spell there, I think it was at the start of the second half, where Galway were just dominating in the air to the point where, like, I mean, up
they
front...
They got 7 points in a row, I think, or something.
Seven points in a row, but, like, I mean, clean catches in a row in their half-back line and in their half-forward line. In a row, almost to the point where, Jesus, this actually doesn't look fair. Like, Wexford had, then when I think that broke their hearts when they saw that, they got the 7 points. And I don't think Wexford ever recovered from that. And Wexford, towards the end, they looked ordinary. They didn't look like a team that we thought were going to challenge the big teams at all.
Yeah, they did look ordinary towards the end. As I end, I do think fitness to an extent was it, but it was...
It couldn't be fitness with Davies' teams, though, Mike.
That's like, what I'm wondering. I really thought it was kind of, as Paddy mentioned at the start, they couldn't drive out past their opponents. Just a lot of things just to me look like maybe they were dispirited, but again, that's not like a Davy team. But you're right, that there was a stage there after the people talk about the penalty miss. I actually think that it wasn't a great penalty by MacDonald, but it was and Callanan did make a good save, but I thought Callanan's the first save was I thought that was a phenomenal effort, to be honest with you, from Aidan Nolan. That the penalty was then given because the advantage came back. That was a point blank save with over the top of his head from about 2 yards. It was amazing. Then the penalty was missed, and then Galway went up and scored whatever it was. I think they got the 7 in a row. I actually made my daughter cry. She was sitting on the floor in front of the couch, and I started swearing at the TV, and I made a 7-month-old cry, and that's Galway's fault, really.
True or on the ground, tell the truth. Let's be honest about it. But, like, I mean, a very interesting stat here is that Joe Canning didn't shoot at the goals from play, Paddy. Now, you can't analyse Galway ever without talking about Joe Canning, but he didn't even shoot at the goals. Now, this is a forward line that was down Mannion, who we know he's mercurial. We know Conor Whelan battled like he always battles. He didn't score like he did, but like I said, Breen was on him very, very tight. You've Conor Cooney and Joe Cooney who stood up yesterday. Another day it's Conor Whelan and it's Joe Canning. Galway have that look about them now, that Conor Cooney, who was riddled with injuries in 2014-2015, admittedly, like he just told me, he's finally feeling fit, as in he's not stranded at the back of the group. He's up around the middle now, which is fit enough for Conor Cooney, which I thought was really good to hear. But, like, I mean, he's fit. he's flying it, his confidence is high. They have match winners that it doesn't matter who's off form, because one or two might always be off form. Different lads are standing up as match winners, which, like, obviously that's what an All-Ireland winning team will have.
Yeah, well, that's it, because as you said, and Mr. Nails, you can't, no matter how good a player you are, TJ Reid, the Richie Hogan, whoever, Callan, they're going to have an off day. And Galway are the same. Joe Canning didn't have a shot from play. Probably did most of his work actually in his own half, I'd say, because he wasn't getting much change out of Matthew Hanlon, but he still, like, the more times he was actually on the ground, because he was in winning the hard ball and was popping it off. And it was a team performance. Like, I think they're really realising now, and they're getting confidence off each other. I was a little bit not worried in the first half, but I was kind of concerned for him because, as I said, Niall Burke was shooting on sight, and the corner forward was shooting on sight.
Jason
as well.
Flynn, yeah.
Jason Flynn, sorry, shooting on sight as well. And that would concern me a little bit, that these guys are trying to get themselves into the game instead of playing a team performance. But as it rolled on, I think it could have been a big learning for him. And before Micheál Donoghue had a chat with him at half time, a couple of the forwards said, look, it's the team game. It doesn't matter who scores. You know, Joe Kenny's not even shooting. Whoever, you know, Niall Burke didn't score in the first. But they had the maturity and they know that everybody's going to do it. But you have to do something for the team. Okay. So he was popping it off today. The next day, Joe Kenning will be firing him over. But they know that they're so good that a couple of forwards would play well and could get more than that.
Could you imagine 12 months ago telling Galway that Joe Kenning would be outscored 2 points to none by his marker in the Leinster final, and David Burke would score a point and they would stroll to victory? Like, you know, it has been, obviously, it's been a team that's been, you know, Micheál Donoghue has been building on this team, but like, it really is a team now, even to the extent last year those young forwards were coming through, but you still couldn't rely on them even getting to an All-Ireland semi-final. But this year, like, as you say, it's just, you know, they've got 6, 7, 8 people from midfield up, attackers you can trust, and it's amazing, really, when you think about it.
And again, the half-back line dominating again. McInerney was back to his best after not having been great. Was it in the previous game? Who did they play in the first round? They played, anyways, can't think, but it, like, I mean, he was outstanding. Oh, Dublin, that was it. He wasn't at his best against Dublin, but he was brilliant in the league final. He was back to his best again. You know, and that half-back line, geez, Mannion, we talked about him with you, Paddy, but Galway just looked like, you don't want to talk them up too much, and Conor Cooney's kind of,
they're definitely going to win the All-Ireland,
talk themselves down. But look, it's going to it's going to take a huge team to beat this Galway team. There's absolutely no doubt about that. Absolutely huge. I thought they were a little bit harsh on Jason Flynn, and I'll tell you why. Jason Flynn is another one of these mercurial type of players, and he strikes me as the ultimate confidence player, as in when he's on form he'll do anything. But, like, I mean, I didn't think he deserved to go before half-time. Number one, I'm completely against taking lads off 4 minutes before half-time. It's an ego trip by the manager, as far as I'm concerned. What harm could he do for 4 minutes when Niall Burke was doing more harm? Flynn just, you know, when you're not at the game, you can't tell exactly. But I don't know. I don't think that's helping Jason Flynn at all by doing that to him, Paddy.
Well, in the long run of the season, if you're saying Jason Flynn is the lad we need, you know, for to win the All-Ireland, we need this player on the team or coming on. Like, it's probably not going to do a lot for him now in the next 4 or 5 weeks before the All-Ireland semi, you know, and you're testing the All-Ireland series now. So, I, you know, for me, you know, if they get past the 25 or 6 minute mark, Jesus, like, you know, you have to trust them till half time, because otherwise, as I said, in the long run, you're going to dent their confidence and they'll go, Jesus, am I good enough for this at all? So, I think, you know, I'd have a lot more time for a manager to take a lad off after 20 or 25 minutes, but there's no point waiting until 31 minutes. It's nearly over anyway, so.
Yeah, was it Devereaux that when he got the point? Was he on Flynn? If that was him, maybe that was it. Sometimes managers just need that little spark to go right.
Yeah, a cornerback scoring a point will probably do that to you. Yeah. Can I ask you, to you then, if you say getting taken off before half time is that bad? Just looking at example of, like, say, giving a guy a kick up the arse, like, say, Patrick Horgan got dropped altogether for match. Is it worse to be start a match and be taken off before half time, or to be unexpectedly dropped a la Patrick Horgan?
Taken off before half time is very humiliating. The only thing worse than being taken off just before half time is being brought on and brought off. Like, I mean, that's the only being dropped for a match is not comparable. You know, that's a bit of a sickener. But
even if
you're
Patrick Horgan, say, like, untouched on a tee, untouchable.
I don't know. Being taken off before half time is humiliating. I don't know if it's ever happened to you, Paddy. I've been brought on. I was actually just talking to Connor about it, because Connor was brought on and brought off in an All-Ireland final, the replay against the draw match against Kilkenny. He got nine bloody minutes. That's the ultimate humiliation. It happened to me against Armagh in All-Ireland quarterfinal on and off. It's never happened to me taken off before half time, thank God. But like, I can only imagine what it's like, especially when you can just lick your wounds in a dressing room and do it at half time and save the embarrassment.
Exactly, yeah. And like, as you said, was somebody going to come on there and do damage? Maybe somebody would have come on there and scored two goals or something like that instead of Flynn. But I just, at that stage of the game, I definitely don't see it. Okay, in the back, if a cornerback or whatever fullback is getting roasted, okay, yeah, you have to put out the fire. But I think, I actually thought Flynn kind of hit a couple of bad wides, I think more so than ever scoring a point. It just looked the snatching of things, but I don't think this is going to make him any more relaxed. But certainly being taken off before half time is one of the worst, really. I definitely thought he'd drop him taken off before half time.
Yeah, no, listen, none of them are good, but there's different levels.
I wanted to know. I wanted to get the inter-county perspective on that one.
It's definitely not good. But come here, listen, we've done enough on that Leinster final because there was loads of qualifiers. Now, they all went the way we were expecting.
Eventually.
Kilkenny and Limerick was a little bit closer. I'm taking credit for saying that would be close. But Conal and Damien said that would be over 10-point win. But we want to talk about Tipperary and Westmead, Paddy, because you were at that game. And like, I mean, on the face of this, Tipperary made six changes. They took Callanan and Breen. He took Callanan and Breen off early. Westmead was it 10 minutes to go, could have drawn the game only for a brilliant save from Tipperary goalkeeper. So all in all, if you're to look at this from the outside, it was Mooney and goals. This was a disastrous performance from Tipperary.
Yeah, very poor. I suppose I'd say what it is. They didn't look that up for it. I suppose when the qualifiers come in, they're expecting a bit of a tough draw, maybe. And then I suppose Westmead is kind of, mentally, it's a hard one, you know, because the motivation mightn't be as high, but it should have been really higher. And people should have been laying down a marker. But it also looked, while they weren't that motivated looking, it also looked like they were lacking a little bit of confidence at heart, a good bit of confidence. There was lads on the ball who were normally short-shouldered and overcomplicating it and passing when you shouldn't pass and then maybe hitting a long ball when you should be passing it. You know, it was very, very mixed up performance and definitely lacking intensity, definitely lacking a kind of a pattern of play that they were going to do, and it had to seem like they were thinking too much about everything they were doing. So there's a lot for Kip to kind of look at there, because as you said, with 10 minutes to go, there was a shot from the 14 and actually he mishit it. I could have just scrambled in, but it was a good save by Darmooney. But I think, you know, they need a tough draw. They probably need a very tough draw to get them going. But I hope Dublin give them a right good match. And it's definitely not a foregone conclusion, this match next week, because Tips, you know, their confidence at the minute is not high. So if Dublin come with a big, big attitude, you could have a very, very tight match, I'd say.
And was John McGrath dropped, or has he been injured or something?
I'd say he was dropped because he came on a sub, so it wouldn't be too bad. Now, I know we played him in a challenge match. We played Loughmore, in a championship match. It was a week after the Cork game, and he did hurt his hamstring that day. So I'd say that probably took him 2 weeks to come back, so maybe. But I think that Lamar was just burning it up in training, to be honest with you. And he was excellent. And unfortunately now, he was probably the best player, one of their best players the other day, but he's after hurting his ankle, so he'll be gone for a few weeks now. So I'd say it'll be, you know, John McGrath will be back in the next day regardless. But he actually looked very, very sharp when he came on. So look, they need John McGrath going forward, whether it's to kick up the backside or whether it's just to get other lads on the team going, or get John McGrath going and letting them know, look, nobody's undroppable. It didn't seem to work now the other day, to be honest with you, but John McGrath will be back in, and he looked sharp, which was a positive.
So you look at it from the outside, you wonder, are Tipperary kind of in disarray here? Because he made six changes, right? And the six changes arguably put in a worse performance than the ones they, so like the one against Cork. So like, our lads in that squad now going, oh, Ryan seems to be losing the plot a little bit, you know, that kind of way. The fellas that were dropped might be disgruntled. The fellas that came on, the team didn't perform with them. So like, I mean, is it almost like, I know that, geez, they got very lucky with the draw getting Dublin, because you'd imagine Tipperary are there for the taking now.
Yeah, well, look, being perfectly honest, they did look like that the other day. If they were playing another team the other day, they probably would have gotten beaten. So I don't know, are they in disarray? I'm sure Mick wanted to know, kind of get people out of their comfort zone, maybe get the backs up in some of them, because they need a bit more emotion than what was going into the Galway game, the Cork game. And I think that's a big thing that's missing. They're doing too much thinking. They're just not going ball-headed for it, in my opinion. They just need to get after the ball. Don't worry about patterns. Don't worry about holding too much positions. They just need to go and get stuck in. And I think, you know, and that's real old school stuff to say get stuck in, but I wouldn't consider myself old school, but I think that's exactly what they need. They just need to get stuck in, hit first, think later. Don't worry about the consequences, just go for it and get themselves up for the matches, because I don't think the last three matches, you could say Tipperary were at the right pitch, you know, that whatever you want to call it, up for the game or emotionally invested or whatever you want to say, but they weren't there at that level. So if they don't get that, and that's the thing I'd be concentrating on the next day, don't worry about your hurling, don't worry about how well you're striking the ball or how many scores you got, just get stuck right in and then see where that brings you.
I was just going to say it was interesting listening to the radio on Saturday evening. They were going around the grounds and it almost sounded like they kept going for updates, and it almost sounded like the Mayo footballers, the Donegal footballers and the Tipperary hurlers were kind of inflicted with the same problem. They just seemed to be big teams who didn't expect to find themselves where they were this early in the summer, and they were really struggling to get to motivate themselves against inferior opposition. Mm-hmm. And like, I know different sports and everything, but it just sounded really like a case of Tipperary like, what the fuck are we doing here? I know we're definitely going to beat Westmeath. We're definitely going to beat Westmeath, but it's going to take 70 minutes of our time, yeah, and we're not arsed.
No, I know that. And when a malaise sets in, it's very, very difficult to snap yourself out of it. And I've been in games like that where you're just, this is not in us today. But this is still Tipperary and Westmeath.
Exactly, yeah.
Tipperary in a malaise, yeah, should be beating Westmeath by 20 points. You know, that's the reality of it. So, like, I mean, you'd even have to look into it a little bit even closer than just going, oh, right, it's a qualifiers, it's 6 weeks off. It's Westmeath. Tipperary could score 10 goals against Westmeath. You know, that kind of way, throughout the league. There's definitely something wrong, in my opinion, with that Tipperary squad at the moment. They're not... The wheels have come off in spectacular fashion. I actually can't see Tipperary turning it around. Like, I can see them getting to a semi-final, but you couldn't see them beating Galway in the type of form that they're in. Kilkenny Limerick was the game that was on Sky. So again, very few people will have seen this game. That's the reality of the amount of people that seem to be watching those games. But the general consensus out of this one, Paddy, is that Kilkenny won, but they're still... You know, they're still not the finished article. Padraig Walsh obviously back in his best position. Killian Buckley, they actually said, I saw a bit of the Sunday game, Killian Buckley was back at centre back. He played centre back against Wexford. So, I mean, that's what the whole talk was, that he did well on Lee Chin, and then Lee Chin went to midfield and Buckley stayed at centre back, which seemed to be a stupid one. Joey Holden back, Michael Fennelly back. Look, there's some pluses for Kilkenny, but like, I mean, they just couldn't seem to put any kind of good attack and play together.
No, I think it wasn't a great performance. I think it left a little bit of intent. They started off in a hustle and bustle and really went at it, but I don't think they can't do that as consistently as they have over the last number of years. Now, maybe as the championship gets going, they will up it, but it's like Galway have that physical type of player all over the place now. Kilkenny don't have it as much. I see Bulger comes in, he's not a big man. You know, there's a couple more lads around the field, they're not huge. But, you know, they're still able to do the job. But, you know, only for Buckley and DJ Reid, to be honest with you, and obviously Paul Murphy was excellent as well. Like, they stood out head and shoulders above everybody else. If Limerick were able to put a handle on TJ Reid, now it's a very hard thing to do, but if they put a handle on him, Kilkenny really, really would have struggled the other day. Now, Mick Fennelly was a big plus, and it wasn't Mick Fennelly of old where he's rampaging through the middle, but he just makes sure the other team can't run through Kilkenny. The amount of times he stopped the man up, turned the ball over, slowed the man up. A lot of it even goes unnoticed, but his work without the ball is unbelievable. But Kilkenny have an awful lot of improvement to do. I mean, even, you know, Fennelly inside, Colin Fennelly didn't get much change off Richie McCarthy, who's having a great year. And I think the other thing to look at is this Limerick team have a bit of potential there. They're lacking a little bit of leadership, maybe in the older, for an older age group. They need a couple of older leaders, but they're actually not a bad team at all. And I think the first day against Clare, like, that was their first big match of the year.
you know, they were playing in Division 1B, so they improved a lot as well. But Kilkenny certainly have huge improvements to make if they make a tilt at it.
Yeah, it's funny enough. Richie Hogan, Colin Fenley and Ger Aylward in the full forward line. Nothing out of the three of them, which is startling for a Kilkenny team that... Like their whole game is built around getting it to the full forward line and getting it, getting goals and getting, you know, big scores from their inside line.
It's been happening for 2 or 3 years, and it's amazing how, you know, a few results can kind of mask it. But like for last year, like Walter Walsh has been talked up as this kind of this centre forward to beat all centre forwards. Like Walter Walsh isn't an out and out scorer, but in that Kilkenny team, he was beginning to be kind of marketed as one because they needed one. They've been almost solely reliant on TJ Reid and
Richie Hogan.
Richie Hogan for the last 5 years. No, not 5 years, but for the last 2 to 3 seasons. And like Richie Hogan's, you know, he told us last week he had an injection on his back and that's kind of sorted him, but it clearly hasn't, or he either hasn't been able to train enough. And TJ Reid cannot carry five forwards. He's just not capable of it. But just a quick mention for Mick Fenley, suppose he had 2 training sessions before that match. That's fairly phenomenal.
I think he'd been playing with Ballyhale though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he would have been playing, having some match fitness, unless
he got, he only had one game, I think, and then he got injured. So I think that was before their last match. So he played one game before that, then got injured in training, and I'd say hasn't done a whole pile since that. So he's an animal of a man. Really.
He's a monster of a man. He should have scored a goal, really. Like if we want to be a little bit critical of him, that should have been put away. So like they did get a chance, and Bulger had a chance as well. They just don't seem to be as lethal. One criticism I'd have of Limerick is that they're very, very lightweight, Paddy, up front, aren't they? Like, I mean, outside of Shane Dowling, physically they're just not there. And Eddie Brennan actually did some very good analysis, and you just don't see enough of this analysis on the Sunday game. I was watching bits on the player this morning, and they set up in a straight line. They're forwards, so they had 4 or 5 forwards, but they're coming out in a straight line and leaving loads of space either side. And you like to see a few little formations like that in forward lines in football anyways. I like a bit of thought put into it, and I think a lot more teams do that, only the analysts don't ever show us, because it's hard to tell on television, because when the ball's poked up they're scampering forward, so you don't actually see that straight line that they're trying to do. But they don't seem to be able to win their own ball, or it doesn't stick with them. And like I know I 100% accept for one of their forwards, Hayes is just straight out of minor. He was a minor captain last year. So like, I mean, I am taking that point on board that they're young.
Casey is very young there in the forward line as well. Like they do have a lot of young forwards, but you're right though, they could do with a strong lad in there, like a bit of a lad to break it up. Even I know Kevin Downs is not on the panel anymore, and he's small bit limited hurling wise, but he was a man who could throw himself around the place. And sometimes people, you know, them types of players are kind of maligned sometimes because they may be off and, you know, don't have the finishing touch, or they don't have the slick look of a Joe Canning maybe flicking the ball around, but they make up for it in their presence and their physicality, and it takes the pressure off the young lad. But he is did he play wing forward? I thought he was immense the other day. Like he's after improving even since the first day. I think that lad could be their real talisman in the forward line. And a big plus from now, in fairness, Declan Hannan now has come into centre back. He's been up and down for the last 4 or 5 years, and it kind of looks now that he just isn't a forward. That he was so much more determined when he went into the backs, because I suppose it just doesn't suit lads. Some lads, when there's a lad on their back. So, like, if they're looking ahead to next year, you know, they have them young players. Their under 21 team looks excellent. And they have a bit of a spine of a team coming out. They could find a centre forward, would be something they need now. But you could see that Limerick forward line next year now could put on half stone each, like, and you could say, right, they're well able for it.
Yeah, they do have something to work. I thought Garrod Hegarty was very good in the first half. He was taken off after 46 minutes. I can only assume he was injured, Paddy, because I thought he was playing very well.
Yeah, I thought he was excellent, and because Padraig Walsh is unbelievable in the air, we all know that, and he was well able to break it down. And it actually was a feature that when Garrod Hegarty was on him, he was putting up his hurley to knock it down. Now, too many big lads think that I'm 6'3" or 6'4". This lad's 5'11", 5'10". I'm going to just catch it over him, and the technique wins out then of Padraig Walsh. So I think McDonald did it when he marked him in the league as well. Very cute play, just brought the ball down every time, and it worked out well. And then you didn't see Kilkenny lads breaking out, whereas Paul Murphy was able to catch the ball every time. And if his man was able to pop break it down, then, you know, that would have set up Limerick a little bit more. But Grohl Hegarty was injured for the last match, and I'm sure the reason he was taken off is because he hadn't much training. But yeah, he must have been wrecked there in the second half, because he was doing very well.
Yeah, no, he was. Come here, talk to me about that, putting the hurley up. So, like, I mean, if you're marking, say, obviously, who's Brendan Eyre? Like, Tommy Walsh, for example, from Kilkenny for years, that it's madness trying to put your hand up with him because his timing's too good. So just stick the hurl up to block it down before it gets to him. I'm just wondering why more players don't use that tactic.
I don't know why they don't. I suppose when you're in the forwards, you're kind of saying, well, I have to be winning ball here, or I have to be catching ball. Or, you know, it's like going for crazy shots. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Marking Tommy Walsh or JJ Laney and saying, oh, I'll catch it over these lads. You won't. It's just 99 times out of 100 you won't, let alone 9 times out of 10. So I, you know, a lot of the time I think the forward, if they're not exceptional in the air, back into your man, put your catching hand back onto his chest or his, you know, into his face, and put up the hurley and break it down, because the last thing you want is a halfback. We saw it yesterday, Galway started dominating the air. Remember, Mannion came out with a ball over Conor McDonald. Mm. Really, you know, really get the back up in the other team. So, like, I think if you can make it dirty, if you can break it down, and you're bringing them into a game that they don't want to play, like the likes of Tommy Walsh's and all these brilliant fielders as well, Parag Maher, whoever else you can think of, their halfbacks. They want to catch the ball, and if you don't let them do that, they're putting them off their game. So I think it should be something that's done more, and it's a tactic that should be worked on more. But maybe sometimes with an ego thing before, so maybe snapping the ball and put it all there.
Yeah, geez, you've given me something new to look out for now in my next hurling match. Every day is a learning day. I didn't know about this. That actually makes so much. Why on earth would you? It's actually almost like maybe
it looks really cool when you do manage to catch it. That's
but
why.
It's an argument I have with midfielders in Gaelic football, that if you're marking Dara Shea, why would you try to catch with Dara Shea? Put your fist through it. Midfielders have egos and think, oh, okay, I'm going to dominate this section. Yeah, I'm a fetcher. But anyways, listen, sure, it's something to look out for. Listen, we've gone over time there. We'll be back with performance of the weekend.
It is tough. But I won't tell you, there's no point in papering over like that. It is extremely tough. I won't tell you. But again, it's not about me or Morris or anyone else. It's about Waterford.
We waited so long. I know I've seen one of your tweets yesterday. It's like 6 years. You've lost your leash, man. But it's a long 6 years for us there. And we're absolutely thrilled.
I remember after Leinster final, I was Tuesday morning. My nephew was out in the lawn and he was faking freeze with his socks pulled up, pretending to be TJ Reid. And he fairly brought me back down to earth that day, anyway.
All right, performance of the weekend. Now, Conor Cooney is a very obvious one. We've had him on the show and we've talked about him in the analysis. Michael Fenley, we've talked about in the analysis. They're two guaranteed performers of the weekend. Joe Cooney, lads, deserves a shout out. No relation of Conor, as Conor confirmed. They've both got fathers named Joe, surprisingly enough. It's not the same father called Joe. It's two different fathers called Joe.
That'll be another story.
That would be a whole new story. But we might actually explain a little bit. Right, okay. So we've Joe Cooney, who is unbelievable. Like, I mean, big, towerful man who can score as well, Paddy. And, like, I mean, if you want to, I would say there's certain people of a certain generation saw young Joe do that in Croke Park, and their minds started to drift back to the 80s.
I'd say so, yeah. He kind of really went for yesterday, and he's an up and down type player. I know we talk about confidence players, I think he's a little bit like that, but I'd say something like yesterday now, bring him on, and he is becoming kind of a mainstay, and he knows his job on the team now, because he was kind of playing midfield, half forward, half back. I don't think he really had a position for a long time, but that wing forward position really suits him. And geez, what really impressed me actually was getting onto the breaks, and it's one of the hardest things to do in hurling is to know that the ball is going in long and to be in front of your man as a forward to get onto the break as a half forward. That's probably the hardest, because you're expected to be out the field and not helping out midfield, but then to be in, getting the break off the forward line and running through and popping over the scores, it looks simple, but it's actually probably the hardest thing to do. So I thought, geez, he was brilliant. His fitness levels were very, very high yesterday, because he was motoring until he got taken off.
Yeah, motoring. and just big, big, powerful man. Austin Gleeson, lads, want to give Derek McGrath a lot of credit for taking the advice from the podcast on board and actually putting Austin Gleeson into his best position, centre half forward. Six from play, should have had two goals, well, could have had two goals only for two brilliant saves by the Offaly goalkeeper. He's finally, like, obviously they scored so much, you don't want to say he's back. But you'd like to think that Derek McGrath, being the really good manager that he is, tried something with Austin against Cork. It didn't work. And he's man enough to say, right, well, let's put Pádraic Matheny on the wing and let's put Austin Gleeson back in his best position and let's go from there. And now suddenly, I know they've only beaten Offaly, but suddenly Waterford, like, I know it was very reactionary to say that Waterford are back, but look, I think Waterford will beat Kilkenny.
I think they will too, and because let's be honest, I said they wouldn't win Munster, but I said they'd win the All-Ireland, and they needed an Offaly, they needed a punching bag, and Austin Gleeson did more than anyone else. So the last year's hurler of the year did not become a bad hurler over the winter. He just, between getting shunted around in positions and maybe just kind of the foot being off the collective Waterford pedal during the league, I don't think it helped him at all. He needed that game there on Saturday evening, and yeah, let's just hope he is left at centre forward in so much as he's not asked to be a seventh defender, a third midfielder, or rotate all over the place. If he could just be given that position to make it his own, I think there's no reason we shouldn't see a return to last year's form.
Yeah, no, fingers crossed. Not, jeez, lads, I'm just thinking of that Waterford Kilkenny game. I know we're going to talk about it on Thursday, but like, I mean, I was down at the game last year in Thurles, and like, just the memories of that. Like, I'm thinking of ignoring all football and going down to Thurles on Saturday. Like, I mean, I think that is what I'm going to do for that doubleheader. Paddy, you have a nomination of Tommy Jogger Doyle, fullback for Westmead, who put Seamus Callan in his pocket. This is the same Seamus Callan that has destroyed JJ Delaney in an All-Ireland final. So we're basically saying Tommy Jogger Doyle, JJ Delaney wouldn't lace his boots.
Not a hope. No, he was fairly classy now. But he's, I'd say, like, looking at him, he's very, very competent. I'd say, like, if he was in any other county, he'd be starting fullback or centre back or wing back, because he has everything, because he's big, he's quick, well able to keep up with whoever he was on, and he's well able to hurl. So keeping Seamus Callan scoreless, I know all about trying to mark him, and it's a very, very tall order to keep him quiet. So did very, very well. And you know, I'd say hopefully if lads like him coming forward, like Westmead, won't be too bad. But you know, he's probably not unlucky from Westmead, but if he was in another county, he'd definitely be, you know, he'd be starting on most teams.
But you see, Paddy, I actually do think that is unlucky. Now, obviously, Tommy Doyle would never admit this is unlucky, but, like, I mean, it must be incredibly, incredibly frustrating to be a top, top class player, like, you know, from one of the weaker counties, and never ever play in Croke Park. Mm. Never play. Like, we had Ross King on the show, you know, and he's talking about never playing. He's talking about, you know, Laois players down through the years and they're not ever playing in Croke Park. You know, that kind of way. And I don't know, like, how you must feel to know, to watch a game like Wexford and Galway, to know that you're capable of performing at that level, and to say to yourself, I will never ever do that.
Yeah, like probably maybe even playing in Thurles the other day could have been one of the biggest occasions they've played, you know. So it is very, very tough, especially when you know you're up to that level, you know. But that's happening for years. That's happened, you know, I think at Declan Brown, Tipperary and stuff like that when they were going poor. And that is, you know, that's just what it is. But it is tough on them. But then you never, you know, you're born and bred somewhere. You're never, just because the lights are brighter somewhere else, it doesn't mean that you'd automatically want to play there. But you would like to be in that competition that you know you're good enough for, like, you know. But, you know, it is unfortunate. But
do you know what mightn't be a decent, like, thing to do is that all those weaker counties play in divisional teams, like Laois, Offaly and Westmead play together in the All-Ireland series. Let them play in the whatever championship,
the Midlands All-Stars,
something like that. But wouldn't it be a great extra team? And it would be, I don't know, like, I mean, there should be some way of incorporating players that are good enough to play at that top level to maybe get them into that top level? Maybe, I don't know. Maybe I'm just after throwing that off the top of my head. Cause I'm just
weren't
thinking,
they talking about Ulster? Weren't they talking about Ulster there before?
Yeah,
they should make it one team.
An Ulster province. But you could also have a Leinster a Leinster provisional team, which is obviously not the big guns, but maybe something like that and get them in.
Could you put yourself in the shoes of a Laois hurler? Could you imagine the Laois footballers, you know, it's not going well at the moment, it continues to not go badly. Could you imagine them being amalgamated with the Westmead footballers? Could you imagine that?
Yeah.
That'd be something you'd stomach. See, I'm sure the hurlers are as proud as the footballers.
Well, no, I think that the hurlers accept that there's weaker level hurling counties. They play in the Tommy, in the Lorrie Mar and in the Christy Ring and all these competitions, that it's already in their psyche to say, you know, we're not playing in the Lee McCarty. Now I'd like to play in the Lee McCarty. Whereas in the football, like, we're all competing in the Leinster Championship and in the All-Ireland Championship. So it's a completely different psychological thing to ask a footballer to do it than, I think, than to ask a hurler potentially to do it.
We're all speechless.
Yeah, okay, well, listen, maybe that's something that could be looked at anyways. But sure, look, that's all we have time for. We'll have a huge preview show on Thursday because, like we've mentioned, we have a Munster final next Sunday and we have those two brilliant games in Thurles on Saturday night. So we'll talk to you then. Good luck.
And when I started running, I suppose I didn't stop. And when I got the chance to go, I said I'd stay going. So I opened up.
We were only the small little fish out there, so we are on the... We're trying hard to make it through, but it's hard to get the breaks when you're the smaller fish.
Because I love this county so much, you know, and it's just, I'm delighted that the lads did it for the people of Waterford today, because, like, I'm heartbroken.